Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It's that time again.
I don't know who that announcer
time
is.
Time for Ron, winemaker, cellar master, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes. So dim the lights, pull up a chair, or better yet, enjoy the company of that special someone who's staring back at you from the couch. Sit back and relax. Where's the cork thingy?
It's over there.
Enjoy a tall glass of wine, carefully prepared right here in Florida. World-class wines from Florida Estates Winery. Chat with us online, or better yet, call the show and talk to Ron. By phone, dial area code 646-727-3235. Registered users of Blog Talk Radio can call the show for free using the click to talk button. It's all about wine. And now, from Florida at Florida Estates Winery, Ron.
Woohoo!
Thank you, thank you.
Here we are.
Our audience there again. Thank you, audience.
Yes, and they, I believe this audience arrived on a charter bus. And,
did they?
Yes, they pulled out in front, and I have the window open. Wait a minute. Is it raining? No. Okay. The storms have moved south of us, and they decided to drive up, and they are outside in the grass right now, and we'd love to have them. Thank you all for being out there. And,
thank you, audience. Yes.
Yes, yes.
Thanks for coming out tonight.
646-727-3235 is the phone number to go directly to our show on Blog Talk Radio. However, if you are in the Tampa Bay area, 813 area code, let me give you another number. Get a piece of paper and a pen. I'll wait. Okay. The phone number to call if you are local to get on the program is area code 813-990-0741. That is the direct number to call, and you will get on the show with us.
Actually, that'll work from anywhere in the country, but
well, yeah,
it's a local number for those in the Tampa area.
Yes, we will add you to the call, and you will be on with us. So for all of our local listeners who don't want to call Los Angeles or what is that, Mars? I don't know where 646 is. Yeah, I think it's Los Angeles, California somewhere. But if you don't want to call the 646 number and you're local in the Tampa Bay area, 813 area code, call us, 990-0741. Very easy to dial. I had a list of numbers that I could pick, and that one seemed to be the easiest to dial, so I picked that one. Anyway, we are here with Ron from the Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. That is 25241. State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We'll give out more information on the address, the location specifics, and upcoming events. Tonight's topic is port. Port wines? How do you? Oh,
port wine.
I have to ask you something real quick about my the Biltmore wine that I'm still trying to down and finish before I can get over there. Real quick. I had the bottle on the counter, so it wasn't refrigerated, from last show. And I opened the bottle this time, and it was hard to get the cork out, which I guess is good. It means there's no air in it or something. But I yanked the cork out of it, and it was smoking. Is that normal? Not the cork, but the bottle. I looked in, and I thought, oh, this is not right.
Yeah, it will at times. You'll get that coming out of some of the bottles. And that's a reaction from actually some of the sulfites in the wine will have released some of the chemicals, and you get that little smoke of it. If you smell it, they'll give you a little sulfite smell to it.
Okay.
It's not going to hurt you. It's nothing that to be concerned about. Actually, it's a very good seal with the cork, and a lot of times when the corks are very tight like that, you will get a little smoke rolling out of it. And
okay.
It's okay.
I've just never seen that. I mean, I was like, oh, that's not normal. So, but that's fine. That's fine.
It isn't normal, but it is okay.
Okay. See, that's why I listen to the show, because concerns like that, you know, I pick them up every week. I'm going, okay, I need to ask.
And anyone else out there listening, you can call and ask.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and your question doesn't have to be on port. Just call.
Anyhow.
Yeah, just call on
the It doesn't have to be on the subject we're on tonight, right. Even.
Yeah.
It could be any subject that happens to pop in your mind if you have a question or something.
About wine.
About wine, yeah.
We could get some fun calls here. Okay. Yeah, let's get on with it. At, again, 646-727-3235. That's for anywhere or anywhere and local. 813-990-0741 to get on the program with us. Love to have you on. And back to Ron. This is Port.
Okay, first thing I'm going to do is cover a few odd-in topics here that we talked about last week, noble grapes. I mentioned something about noble grapes. I don't know if you you remember that or not, but there are six what we call the noble grapes. Now, these are the grapes that are the grapes that are considered the premier grapes around the world. They are the ones that if someone speaks of a grape that is better known, usually makes some classic wines, is the noble grapes. This is the Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and Riesling. And we've covered the Chardonnay and the Riesling in previous programs. Also included in the noble grapes is the Cabernet Sauvignon, the Merlot, and the Pinot Noir. Now, as I mentioned last week, I was going to look up the noble grapes, find out what they were exactly, so I won't get them wrong. I ran across three or four different references to classic grapes. And I've always heard of noble grapes, but I've never heard of classic grapes. And they're mentioning classic grapes as also including the noble grapes, plus a couple of extra ones that are included in that list there. And for what reason, I don't know, and why they have different designations, I was never able to find out. But the classic grapes are the Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Riesling, Sauvignon Blanc, and also includes the Syrah, which is a red grape, and the Semillon, which is a white grape. The Syrah, which most people probably know the name as the Syrahs, ending in a Z, is mostly grown in Australia now. A lot of people are familiar with the Australian Syrahs. It is the same grape as the Syrah, which is spelled S-Y-R-A-H in Australia. They end it with a Z, Syrahs. Same grape. There's no difference. Australians just, I don't know, I think it's cooled in with the Z instead of an H, but it's the same grape. There is another grape out there called the Petit Syrah, and from what I understand, it is a different grape, although the verdict is still out on that, if it is a different grape or not. No one really knows for sure, but most of the things that I've read and seen and all that say that the Petit Syrah is not the same as the Syrah. The cluster is a little bit smaller. The grapes tend to be a little bit smaller. So just want to clarify the noble grapes I mentioned last week during the program, noble grapes, and I was going to let everyone know what they were. And then the classic grapes I found, I'm going to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Also, something else I wanted to cover too, which just FYI, I get a lot of people coming into the winery and talking about cooking with wine, and that's great. I mean, to add some red wine to your spaghetti sauce and then a little bit to yourself is always a good idea. I like to always mention a lot of people use wine for cooking and use wine for themselves while they're cooking. And but when you add wine to a sauce, you do not cook out the alcohol. And most people think that you do. Most people say, well, you know, I mean, when I'm cooking with it, then, you know, the alcohol's gone and I have the flavor of the wine. No, you do not. It doesn't work that way. Minnesota Nutrition Council did a study, and they tested how heat would affect cooking with wine. And let me go through this chart a little bit with you here and tell you the different areas and how much alcohol is retained in the food you're preparing. When there's no heat application and you consume it, put the wine in the sauce or something, you consume it right away, you're retaining 100% of the alcohol. Obviously, it's just adding flavors to it. You've got 100% of the alcohol. If there is no heat and you store it overnight, you say you put your red wine in a sauce mix or a meat dish or something, you let it set overnight, refrigerated or something, and you bring it out, it leaves you about 70% of the original alcohol. If you alcohol ingredient added to boiling liquid and then removed from the heat, for example, you again, let's go back to the spaghetti sauce. Your spaghetti sauce is boiling now. It's time to add your wine. You add your cup of wine or however much you put into it. You stir it in and remove it from the heat. You have retained 85% of the alcohol that is in that wine. You haven't really cooked much out at all. Flamed, if you take the wine and it's flamed, you still retain 75% of the alcohol. Baked for approximately 25 minutes, and the alcohol ingredient on the surface of the mixture and not stirred in, that is, if you just lay it on the top and then you put the whatever it is that you have to be cooking into the oven and bake it for 25 minutes, you will retain about half, approximately 45% of the alcohol to still be kept in the ingredient. When you bake simmered alcohol ingredients stirred into the mixture, as you're cooking and baking and simmering it, 15 minutes of simmering it, 40% of the alcohol is retained. After 30 minutes, you still have 35% of the alcohol. After 1 hour, you have 1/4 of the alcohol is still retained in it. After an hour and a half, it drops down to 20%. After 2 hours, you still have 10% of the alcohol in it, and after 2.5 hours, it's still retaining 5% of the alcohol.
Wow.
So it, when you cook with wine, don't expect it to all disappear. And if you have children that you don't want to give wine to, or people who are teetotalers or should not be drinking wine, then consider this before you start making dishes with wine in the ingredients, because there's a good possibility it's going to retain some of that alcohol in there, which is not good for those people. So, and if you find a recipe that does call for wine or beer, or some sort of alcohol added to the ingredient, you can always substitute. Most of the time, the ingredient calls for 2 or 3 spoonsful or something like that. If you have small amounts, you can usually ignore it, not worry too much about it. If it's larger amounts, a lot of times by adding a tart fruit, something very acidic like a lime or a lemon juice, that will substitute for the wine because you are still getting that little acidic flavor that you want to get. So, again, be careful when you're cooking with wine because you are not getting rid of the alcohol.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting.
Port. Port wine. Port has been around for a long, long time. The region of France where wine actually came from, the Douro Valley, is where wine was originally made. This is the home, or where port was originally made. This is the home of port, the Douro region. This is where the grapes were produced and grown, processed, and made into port. The wine, port is a fortified wine. Now, fortified means that it has distilled spirits, usually brandy, added to it. And brandy being made from grapes also. So you're putting a distilled spirit into the wine, which stops the fermentation, leaving the residual sugar in the wine and raising up the alcohol content. In simplistic terms, you're in the middle of processing this. You dump some brandy into it. It stops that fermentation. You're left with sugars, which makes it sweet. And the brandy will increase the alcohol. So you have a port. Usually then stored in oak casks, oak barrels, and aged. Now, not always. A lot of times they are stored for a very short period of time, very, very quick port. Wines are not stored for any length of time at all. My port, for example, is not a stored port. It is one that I ferment for a very short period of time. I use Plant City strawberries. For those of you who might be listening to this around the country anywhere, Plant City is a strawberry growing area outside of Tampa, Florida, in the same county, and it's excellent strawberries, actually. I mean, very, very fine, juicy, sweet strawberries. I get strawberries from the area. I ferment it for a short period of time, only about 3 months or so, and then I blend it with brandy and make the port. So it is a short type of aging on that. A lot of port is not aged a long time. You'll find some of them that are rather short periods of time that they are aged. But when you start getting some of your classic old ports, you can have them in barrels for years and years and years before they are ready to be bottled. The wine, the name port is from the latter half of the 17th century, from the seaport city of Porto, which is at the mouth of the Douro River, and again the same region where it's all grown, where much of the production was brought to for market and for exports around the world and all that. Port started in 1756. This is when the region first started to make port, and it was designated as an appellation or an area for port in 1756. Actually, it is the third oldest defined and protected wine region in the world after the Tokaj region, which is in Hungary, which was established in 1730, and then the oldest was the Chianti region in Italy, which was established in 1716. So port is an old product, and port was used a lot to travel around the on ships around the world, simply because port was not able to be because other wines were not able to be used as on ships because they would start going bad. Whereas the port, with the higher alcohol and the sweetness and everything that was in it, was able to travel much easier, and they didn't have to worry about the wine going bad as they were taken to different places. Everyone has heard stories, I'm sure, of the ships where they had rations. The sailors had rations of their port throughout the ship, and everyone got a certain amount of port through the ship that was part of their pay.
Wow.
Port itself is typically a rich, sweet, heavier type of wine. Always higher alcohol. I've explained earlier, most wines contain alcohol between 9 and 15%. Port is typically 19, 20, 21% in that range there. You will find a few of them that will drop a little bit lower, but between 18 and 21% is almost all, always the range of port. 19.5 to 20% is the most common you'll find. It is commonly served after meals as a dessert with cheese, with brie, just a after-dinner cigar. I always suggest the port that we make at Florida State Winery is great with a Ybor City cigar while you're enjoying a glass of the port. So.
Yeah.
So port is usually a lighter, sweeter one. Excuse me, sweeter style. Speaking of styles, different styles of port. Port is probably the biggest variety of any type of wine you're going to find. When you've talk about a Cabernet, you talk about a Chardonnay or Riesling or Merlot or anything like this, it will be basic styles all the time, whereas port can range anywhere from being a very dark, very heavy, very old color to white ports, which are quite common, lighter style. different types of ports. A ruby port spends a minimum of 2 years in large vats before they bottle it. Large vats come in contact with the wine, which reduces oxidation so that it retains its bright red color. And it's usually drank when it's still quite rich and full and fruity flavors and all that. Ruby port is a very common port. You'll find that quite often. It is usually a younger style. And it is a ruby color, hence the name. And usually a ruby port is a blend from several different harvests, different years, and from different farms. Quintas is the farm that grows the port grapes in Portugal. Quintas coming from the word quarter, meaning that when the farmers first started to grow the grapes, they had to give a quarter of their harvest to the landlord. That was their rent, basically. So the quintas were became the names for these areas. So the ruby port, again, several harvests, different years, and from different farms, different quintas. The tawny port is a blend from several harvests also, but it is aged 2 to 7 years in casks. And these usually are smaller casks, which allows for a little bit more oxidation, and oxidation meaning the air getting to it, than you'll find for the ruby ports. And it is made to be drank rather soon, too. It's not one to be aged after you get it out there. It is once it's bottled, put on the shelf, buy it, drink it. Tawny port has a deep mahogany color, and the taste is a little bit drier and nuttier, actually, than the ruby port. Ruby port being, again, more of a fruity taste, than the tawny being a drier taste. Also have the aged tawny port. Now, tawny is spelled T-A-W-N-Y, by the way. I always like to point out spellings. Okay. Aged tawny port is the best of the tawny ports. Now, it can be aged 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years or more. I mean, it's aged tawny ports can be stored in the tanks for a long time. Age, usually on the label, will tell you how long it's been aged, and which gives you a much more refined taste, much more complex taste. The regular tawny port gives you a deep mahogany color. An aged tawny port starts losing that color and starts becoming, I'm sorry, I can't think of the right word to describe it, not such a deep mahogany color, more of a lighter brownish color because of the aging process, and it gives you a much more refined, subtle taste to the port. Some tawny ports can be aged for hundreds of years, which just adds to the complexity of it and gives it so much more of a depth and you know, phenomenal flavors and taste. So, aged tawny port. Then we have a Collieta. Collieta port. Collieta, spelled C-O-L-H-E-I-T-E, or T-A, I'm sorry. Collieta port means, Collieta, it means harvest. And it is a tawny port that is made from grapes from a single harvest. A vintage, if you will, a vintage type port. It is usually aged at least 7 years in cask or wood, but usually longer than 7 years. 7 years minimum, and usually aged much longer than 7 years. It is a some of the wine houses are the growers and port makers make a Collieta for almost every year, and they have been for the last couple of centuries. It's just what they do. They do a vintage port every single year. and the label indicates the year of the harvest, and then they age it for the 7 years or so. So right now, being 2009, you'll be finding 2000, maybe 2001 or twos on the shelf of the Cagayta port. White port. White ports have a lighter taste. They can go from really very sweet to very dry. They've probably got the biggest range of any of the ports you're going to find. Most of the white ports, though, that I've had and that I've ever tasted have been more of a sweeter style. I don't recall ever having any real dry white ports. The sweetest white ports are called Lagrima. Lagrima is simply the term for a sweet white port. These are usually made from blends from white grapes from different vineyards and different quintas or different farms. And they have usually a small amount of juice from the red grapes, but usually it's from white grapes. The white port spends 2-3 years in cask or wood, and it is also one of those that's ready to drink as soon as it's bottled. It's not one to be aged. The 2 or 3 years picks up the oak and softens it. White port is usually served as an aperitif or between dessert or between appetizers or with appetizers. A very popular drink that I've heard over and over whenever I looked anything up on port and all that is called a port splash. And it's a mix of half white port, half tonic port or ice, and a twist of lemon. And I've had it, and it is delicious. It is really, really a refreshing, nice, light drink. And the white port and the sweetness of that and the twist of lemon just sort of gives a little party in your mouth while you're tasting that. So it's a nice, refreshing summer drink, especially for those of you who live in a warm climate. You can drink that year-round and never really get tired of it. Crusted port. Crusted port is a type of ruby port. It usually spends 3 years in a cask or in oak, but most of its aging is in a bottle. And it's usually a blend of ports from several different years and several different vintages, or several different years, several different farms and different grapes. But it gets its name from the sediment that settles in the bottle when the wine ages. Since it's not filtered and since it is aged in the bottle, it is usually crushed, fermented, and then put in the bottles. And because of that, and not being filtered going into the bottles, you're going to get a lot of sediment buildup in it. It's what you're getting is tiny pieces of the skin, a little bit of seeds and stems and all that stuff that settles into the bottom part of the bottle. It doesn't hurt you. Nothing wrong with it. This is one of the wines that does need to be decanted. And a quick thing about decanting here. I may have covered this before, but it's always good to talk about decanting a wine. When you decant a wine, the purpose of decanting is to remove sediment. You can do this by pouring the wine very slowly into the decanter. Now, any type of container can be used for a decanter. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of different decanters. Some of them are just gorgeous. I saw one in one of our catalogs the other day that was round and had etchings of earth on the outside of it. Beautiful, beautiful display, and just sits on its own little stand and all that. Just a beautiful decanter. But when you decant a port, for example, the crusted port, you pour it very slowly out of the bottle, and once you start seeing you're getting the sediment up through the neck, you stop. Now, there was a method called candling. Candling. Candling is when you put a candle behind the neck of the bottle. You're looking through the neck of the bottle at the flame of the candle. As you're pouring this wine, this port, into the decanter, you're looking through the neck at the candle. When you start seeing the sediment appear, you stop pouring. You set it down, you let it settle, let the sediment drop to the bottom, and you start pouring again. Again, once you start seeing the sediment come through, it's time to stop. This is called candling. Now, any light source will work, obviously. You can use a light, a lamp, a flashlight, anything you would like. But the classic term candling is when a candle was used for it. And it's a good way to do it. Once you get down to the bottom, you don't have to squeeze every little bit out of it. And instead of decanting like that, too, a lot of people like to use filters. And there are numerous different types of filters you can purchase to filter your wines and filter your ports. A lot of people even use things as simple as coffee filters. They will work, and they'll filter it through and pull out your sediments and everything. The coffee filters tend to be a little bit slower because they're not made to run very fast. And I've used coffee filters before, and I don't know. I have an aversion to coffee filters. Just a personal preference, I would rather decant it by the candling method than I would with a coffee filter. It is faster with a coffee filter in the long run, but I guess I'm old school. I like that use of the just pouring it out and watching it, letting it settle and doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that the crusted pour needs to be decanted. Vintage characteristics. A vintage character of a port is a higher quality port. When you get a vintage character port, it's usually one that is aged for 4 to 6 years in the wood, in oak or in cask, and it is filtered to remove any sediment, and then it's bottled. Usually a fuller body port, and usually quite fruity. Only aged for the 4 to 6 years, you don't have this overwhelming oakiness, and you don't get the very extreme dryness. So a vintage character port, again, is higher quality, but still fruity, full body. Single quanta ports are made from wines from one vineyard. Like I explained to you, quinta is the farms. So they may be any types of port. It could be a tawny port. They could be a vintage style. After aging for 2 years in the woods, then they're bottled. And then they spend a long time in the bottle. Anywhere from 5 to 50 years they're spent in the bottle. And the labels will indicate what vintage and the date it was bottled and tell you how long that thing's been in the bottle and where it is. If you're familiar with the different quintas or the different farms of the port-growing region and different regions there, then you will find some that are very expensive compared to some that are not quite as expensive, still comparably expensive compared to other ports. But different ones will come out with higher quality ports and continuously make higher quality ports. The taste of the single quinta port is very complex, very refined taste, being that it is a vintage and being that it is also matured in the bottle. Again, that one probably should be decanted before you drink it most of the time. But being aged for 2 years in wood and then bottled, I'm not sure if they filter it or not. This is something I wouldn't know right off the top of my head, but I would suggest probably decanting it. Then you have the late bottled vintage port. Late bottled vintage port is made from grapes grown in a single year. That is just whatever, again, a vintage is what we talked about, a vintage port or a vintage wine many times. The port is aged 46 years in wood and then is indicated with the vintage and bottled. And usually made to be drank reasonably soon. It's not one that is made to age for any length of time. It's not one that's out there to sit around for a long time and all that. It may have some sediment in it. A lot of times you'll see a vintage, a late bottled vintage port labeled as a traditional port, same thing. They definitely do need decanting, though. I would probably decant every one of those. Then we have vintage port. The vintage port comes from a single harvest of an exceptional year. And it's usually bottled after 2 years in wood. These are very expensive wines, are very expensive ports. These are very good quality ports. After it's bottled, it spends a lot of years in the bottle, and the label will show the vintage in the year that the wine was bottled. And probably some of the most sought-after wines in the world, sought-after ports in the world, is your vintage port. From 1901 to 1999, only 14 ports have been declared vintage ports. So that an indication of how rare it is and why they are so often sought after and why they are so good, because they do have so much depth and quality and character to it. And it just it shows you what port is all about. It's like once you have yourself a vintage port, and it's very difficult to really appreciate some of the others without thinking, well, I remember this vintage port I had, and stuff like that. Storing port. When you put away port, when you're storing it, port should be stored just like any other wine. It should be in a cool place, not cold. You don't want the thing too cold. You want it just cool enough so that it's kept at a consistent temperature, dark location. Light can damage port. If you will notice, every port that you will see on the shelves and stores and everything will be in a dark bottle, because they don't want the light to get into it. UV rays and stuff can cause damage. Also, fluorescent lights will cause it. So, in fact, fluorescent lights is bad for any wine. If you have fluorescent lights in your room or in where you're storing wine, where you're putting wine, unhook the fluorescent lights and use light bulbs, because fluorescent lights over a period of time can start causing the wine to go bad. Keep a steady temperature on ports, laying it on its side if it has a cork in it. Now, this is something else with corks. A lot of corks don't have a lot of ports. I kept saying corks. A lot of ports don't have corks. They have what we call bar tops. These are stoppers, the plastic with the cork underneath it, which you can just twist off with your hand. A lot of ports will have the bar stoppers on it. If you have a bar stopper on it, laying it down is not really necessary. You can pretty much go by the rule, though, that if it's a vintage port, if it's an older port, anywhere from the ones that need to be aged or something, say the aged tawny ports, the Caleta port, crusted, vintage, late bottled, any of those, really probably have a cork in it, and you keep those on the side. When you start looking at white ports, tawny ports, ruby ports, Florida State Winery, strawberry port, those have a bar top type on it, and so those do not need to be laid down. You can stand those up. With the exception of a white port, which should be served chilled, and I say chilled, not cold. A couple of hours in the refrigerator is the maximum for chilling it. Any more than that, you're going to make it way too cold, and you're going to start losing some of the characteristics of the port. You don't want to do that, so you want to keep it just chilled, just a little bit chilled. Excuse me for 1 minute or a second here while I take a sip of my Chardonnay.
Sure. I'll give out the phone numbers in case anyone wants to call. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you. Anything about wine, it doesn't have to be about port specifically, but you want to add a comment, maybe discuss something that you know yourself or experienced, or you want to ask a question, we'd love to have you on the program. The phone number is area code 646-727-3235, 646-727-3235. 1-800-795-3535. Or you can call us on the other line, which we're adding here. We're actually trying to test this first more globally before we start adding to it. But you can also call us on, especially if you're local to Tampa and you want to call in, because that's where our winery is located. Florida Estates Winery is located in Land O'Lakes. And they do have the 813 area code. They get a lot of customers locally and from all over the place. And if you pay attention to the their Facebook page, you can you'll know quite a bit. A lot of people visit from all over. But the local the contacts there, local people who are interested, you can call us at 813-990-0741. 813-990-0741, and you can call that from anywhere as well, but that's just a convenience for our local listeners and people who especially have visited the winery and your local, or you want to get more information about the winery, you can call us for that as well. So we'd love to have you on there, and we just happen to be talking about port today. And I just ran out of wine myself.
Did you? I'll let you go fill up while you finish talking about port here then.
For sure.
So again, white port should be chilled, a couple of hours in the refrigerator, nothing more than that. And then the red ports and tawny ports and all of your other ports, not chilled, but they should be a little bit cooler than what we normally serve. We tend to serve our red wines, our ports and everything in this country a little bit too warm. I would suggest taking your port and putting it in the refrigerator for, 15, 20 minutes before you serve it, just to cool it down slightly, just to get that warmth off of it. We tend to keep most of our houses and rooms and all that a little bit too warm for the port. So just give it a slight chill, and that would be just about right. Just a tiny bit. Now, once it's open, most ports should be consumed within a short period of time. These are not ones to be sitting around and letting let it breathe and let air get to it. Now, if they have the stoppers or the bar tops, you can usually keep those for a couple months in a dark place. Put the stopper back in it, put the bar top back into it. Keep it in a dark corner of your kitchen or under the cabinet or something. I don't think I'd keep it out on the counter, simply because once you put it out on the counter, most kitchens have fluorescent lights, and the fluorescent lights going to affect it. Also, the heat and variations in the kitchen can start affecting it. So if you do not finish your port that has the stopper or the bar top in it right away, put the bar top back in it, put it under the counter, and then you can slowly consume it that way.
Mm-hmm.
If it has a cork, it should be consumed pretty quick.
Wow.
It's especially the ones that you're decanting and stuff like that. Those are not ones, because you are really going to start losing some of the quality of it. You're going to start losing some of the character of it. You're going to start losing some of the nice stuff that you really want in that. And so by consuming it right away, you're going to get the full flavors and full benefits of that. Typically, just go by rule, the older the vintage, the quicker it must be consumed once you open it. Just a simple standard rule to follow when it comes to port. Port wines that are unfiltered, like I mentioned, should be decanted. As you're decanting them, you're going to let them breathe a little bit, and as they sit in the glass a little bit, keep swirling it, let them breathe. That's going to open up that port, and it's going to give you all sorts of lovely aromas and flavors and taste. And port glass should be a large bowl. It should not be a little short, stubby bowl. Use a glass that is that can let air into it, that you can stick your entire nose into it. Don't use a little short champagne style. You want one that is going to let the air into the glass, and that's going to bring out the aroma. As you swirl that glass, you're going to open up that aroma, and you're going to open up the flavors to it. I can take a port, Florida State Winery Strawberry Port, any of them, put it in a glass, and swirl it and smell it for a long time, 9.5 or 40 minutes before I even take my first sip, because I just absolutely love the smell of port. It just—it's got so much complexity to it that it's just—it's just really a nice treat to the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So I can—it's just—it's it's got the nice depth and nice flavors and all that. So port is one that can be enjoyed, like I say, at any time and anywhere with. Anyone, it's always enjoyable to have port and share it with other others around you. When you're tasting port, since we're at the point of tasting it, when you're tasting port, get all the senses involved with it. Pour it into your glass, look at it, hold it up to the light, check the port out, check the color out. You want to be sure that it's darkest in the center and lighter around the edge on the rim and stuff. This is where the color is going to be. In most wines, if you start getting a brown tinge around the edge and all that, that's bad. But in your ruby port, you will have a brown color at the rim where the glass and the port meet. This is the maturity of the wine. The browner the rim, the more mature the wine is. So the port will really show you the age by that. Tawny port usually gives you a reddish brown color. White ports vary between being brown or a pale yellow. And your vintage ports, dark, almost black color when they're young, and then they turn into a deep deep red, a garnet color, a slight garnet color as they age.
Mm-hmm.
The bouquet of a port. Most ports, you're going to get a nuttiness to them. Think Christmas and the bowl of nuts sitting on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You stick your nose in that bowl, and that's the type of smell you're going to get from port. Most of your port's going to give you a nuttiness, which comes from the oak aging, the barrel agings. And it's you don't want a off flavor. You don't want a mustiness. You definitely don't want a vinegary smell. If you start getting a vinegary smell, that wine, that port is probably bad. Don't drink it. Throw it away. You can always buy more. And when you taste it, after you smell it and all that, take your first sip, fill your mouth with it, and then swallow it. And then your second sip is really what's going to tell you about that port, and you should just get a mouthful of all these different deep flavors, nice balance with the acid and the sweetness. Port will give you a little bit of sweetness. You don't want to overpower any one type of flavor or the other. You want that to just come out and balance out very well. The tannins will have some effect of drying your mouth. A port really is not about the tannin so much as it is about the balance of everything. You should, your port, especially your old vintage ones, should be so balanced that you won't be able to pick out any one distinct characteristic. It's all going to be just subtle hints of everything there that you'll say, oh, wow, there was that. Oh, wait a minute, this is coming up now. Oh, now here's this. And this is how a good vintage port should approach itself in your mouth. And then after you swallow it, just enjoy the aftertaste. Most of the time, the aftertaste of ports are going to be very subtle and just linger on for quite some time there. And that gives you a good chance to sit there and smell it even more before you take your next drink.
Very good.
There's our port.
Yes, very, very good. You know, I'm surprised our studio audience is. Can you put the glasses down, please? Thank you.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, there it is.
Thank you, yeah.
You know,
well, they're so wrapped up tonight.
I know. Absolutely. yeah, that's. see, I'm on a page and a half, so. yeah, very excellent. And I didn't realize it was so much just on the port subject. That's wow. Yeah, that's a lot of.
And you know, and port has been around so long and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I wanted to cover too, if I may, for quickly here, Mike.
Sure.
I read something the other day, which I first time, and I've been involved with wine for many, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I read something the other day, and I need to confirm it. I'm going to throw this out there. So if anybody hears this and they can confirm it, then please call or write or email or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that the United States does not subscribe to any of the treaties or any of the things that the world has concerning naming of wines and all the different types of wines, meaning simply that the European Union has restrictions on who can call champagne champagne. It is just a small region in France that can be called it. Everywhere else has to call it sparkling wine. But the United States does not subscribe to that, so therefore we can call it champagne because we are not part of that treaty.
Oh, my gosh.
Also with port, we can call it port. True port comes from the Portugal region of Europe and the Douro Valley of Portugal, and that is port. But because we do not subscribe to the treaties and are not signatories on that treaty, we can call it port here as we make it to be a port.
Hmm.
And I read this the other day for the first time. And like I say, in all the years that I've been involved with wine, I've never seen anything like this before. And I don't know where to go to confirm or deny that. So if anyone out there who happens to hear this, please email me or contact me and with a yay or nay on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am really, really curious about if that's true or not. So.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So that could mean that the champagnes that we drink in the U.S., are completely different than what the Europeans are drinking as champagne, and you know they could come over here and order a bottle of champagne, and it's something that they're not, you know, that's not champagne to them.
It could be just a sparkling wine that some local winery makes, and we can legally call it champagne. So I don't know. Yes, that's the only, and it opens up a whole bunch of questions and all sorts of stuff to me. So
absolutely,
so I don't know. Like I said, I just heard that the other day, and. I was so curious. I figured, you know, people who listen to these programs are knowledgeable or want to be knowledgeable, and maybe they can find something that I can't. So
yeah, that would be great. I'd love to hear from that from them with that. Now, on the winery, and if you do have that information, you can call the winery direct at area code 813-996-2113. I know they would love to hear about that as well as any other questions or information that you have. You can call them direct or find out about the winery too. And
open 11 to 6 Eastern time, 7 days a week.
Yeah, that's another great thing.
Yeah.
Coming up this Saturday. This Saturday? Yeah. June 20th from 2 to 5 p.m. is
right.
Another great wine class. That's 3 hours, folks. 3 hours wine class. You learn everything you can about wine, and it's great. What do you have? Normally, you do.
We talk about the 100-point scoring system. We talk about oak aging. We talk about varietal vintage glasses, corks, capsules, labels. We have some surprises for you. Have some pastels for you to take with you. We taste the wines, we have snacks, all sorts of stuff going on, only $25 in advance, $30 at the door, well worth the time and effort.
Okay.
If you want to learn more about wine, you can't pass this up. This is a great way to expand your knowledge and walk out.
And if you have Father's coming up, I mean Father's Day coming up, this would be a great gift for a wine lover dad out there, a father out there who loves wine. Treat them to this, and they'll leave very happy, well, you know, really happy, and not inebriated, but satisfied with all the knowledge that you have there at the winery during the wine class. It's a great, great class. Okay, that's 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then the following Saturday, as you have two every month, I believe, is another wine fest, and that is 10 a.m., to 3 p.m. on June 27th. That's also at the winery. Let's see, you have, what else? 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., you're going to have sauces. I got homemade arts and crafts, handmade jewelry, plants. Avon's going to be there. And live music again by Angelo Cook. Let's see, the note has, he does light and classic rock. Okay. And there's also, of course, opportunities to sample the winery's offerings. And you can also meet the winemaker.
Yes.
Yes.
I will be there. We also have Dave selling writing instruments, some beautiful pens and all that. Be out there a week from Saturday. And we have Mary Kay coming out. She's got some specials and all that going on. This and we got a doggy treat lady who makes special doggy treats and all. So Angela Cook will be our musician again. Always enjoyable to hear Angela. And so, yeah, we got it's supposed to be a nice day.
Yep.
So,
this weekend I think we're looking good too. So,
But
the wine class is inside, right?
Yes.
And then the wine fest is outside. And if you're a vendor and you're interested in showing your products, your handmade items, your products, you want to contact the winery about going out there and you know, setting up a table out there. It is free to vendors. It's a free event for the general public. So the general public, you have free parking. It's free to go to the wine fest and visit with the vendors and buy their products and support them and their causes. Like you said with Dave doing his writing instruments and everything. They're very unique, by the way. They're really cool to look at and get yourself some writing instruments. From him, handmade everything. There's different tables out there, and it's just great to visit and sit out underneath the table and enjoy the music by Angelo Cook, enjoy a glass of wine or two or three.
Or a bottle.
Visit the store there, the gift shop, and pick up anything you can think of wine related is there as well. So
Father's Day, we got t-shirts, yes. We got wine. Wine is always a good gift for Dad. Always.
Mm-hmm.
I keep telling my kids that Father's Day, wine is always a good gift.
To get to the winery, they are located. The winery, Florida Estates Winery, is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75, or 8 miles east of Highway 41. On State Road 52. That's the location specifically is 25241 State Road 52, Land O'Lakes, Florida. So if you're in the area, definitely drop in. It's great. They have picnic tables in the back, and pick up a glass and head out there. It's great. Sample the wines. They also do wine samples. You can sample all 10, I believe it is, 10 wines.
Uh-huh.
And that's only what, $3.50?
$3.50.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I do that anytime. I've already tasted them anyway, but every time I go there, I have to taste them all again because they're just, and then I keep the wine list and I check the ones that I want to pick up. It's great. 3,600 acres. It's the area out there where the wine fest is. It's all shaded. It's cool out there, even though we're like in the 150s outside in the regular temperature. It's still nice to be underneath those giant oak trees, and it's always, as you say, and I've seen it on your Facebook page, as you say, it's always a great day at the winery.
It's always a great day at the winery.
Great.
Speaking of Facebook page, too, everyone, join us. Become a fan on Facebook.
Yes.
Florida State's Wines has a Facebook page, and I post it every once in a while, so come on, join us. Become a fan, and have any comments or any questions, I'll be happy to answer and talk to you through that also. So there's all sorts of ways to get in touch with us.
Absolutely. If you can't get in touch with us, you're out in the middle of nowhere with no access to anything.
And you're not hearing us anyway. So.
Exactly. 813-996-2113. That is the Florida Estates Winery. Or you can email corp@flewn.com. C-O-R-P, that's corp. At flewn.com as Florida Estates Winery, or visit their very informative and beautiful website, www.floridaestateswines.com. And that's great. Love to
thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And I'm going to do the little outro thing here, and we'll see everybody next week. 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Yeah.
You take care, and hope to see everyone back on the program next week then.
Right, next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you. Thank you, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@flewn.com. That's corp@flewn.com. Or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDawg1. That's DAWG and the number 1. Email address is podcast@ChicoDawg.com. Follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/MikeWCFL. WCFL as in Wesley Chapel, Florida.